Hello everybody, I'm George Mylan, thanks for coming to my channel. So let me see, this is about British military recruitment. Now, I've never been a military person, as the ignorant rubbish I'm about to spout will no doubt underscore. So there is a crisis in British military recruitment, and I know it's a problem replicated across much of the Occident. And in the Republic of Ireland, we've got a problem with that the Irish Naval Service in particular is hugely under strength. And we've got a very small navy, we don't even call it a navy. But back to the United Kingdom. So both recruitment, getting people to join, and retention, getting them to stay. They usually sign up for a five-year contract. Basic training is at 10 weeks, and then there's a sort of other skill development path of going another 10 weeks, something like that. That's in the Army, then about the Royal Air Force and the Royal Navy. Now, if people want to leave before 5 years are up, they can buy themselves out by paying several thousand quid. If people are really bad at basic training, they can be kicked out. And that's it. They can kicked out for taking drugs. So, and that's a problem across all three services. And about 1,000 more leaving than joining in from April 2024 to 2025. Apparently, since April 2025, it has improved a little bit. But recruitment is down almost 40% since 2019. And just the army is very small anyway. It's about 70,000 troops. You go back to 1991, Desert Storm. To drive the Iraqis out of Kuwait, the British Army is 150,000 strong. Now, I know there was the peace dividend of the Gulf War, and there were options for change, huge cuts. Some of the cuts were sensible, but sometimes it was cutting into a muscle, not fat. I know numbers don't matter as much as they used to, because we've got drones, we got AI, things which that multiply the force of, and that one person can be doing work, the work of several. But nevertheless, numbers still matter. You can't go too low. So what are they going to do? So people at the end of 5 years choosing not to stay on. So the housing is inadequate. They often just don't have running water. And obviously these are men and women with children. About 90% of the people who join are men. If we could get equal numbers of women to volunteer as men, the problem would be solved. Maybe that's never going to happen. I've never heard of any military force in the world where men and women are roughly equal numbers. So I don't think it's sheer sexism. Is there a male brain, female brain? I had a female brain scientist said actually there is no such thing. It's all acculturated. Okay, it's partly to do with conditioning. Is it due to physical strength? Of course, physical strength still doesn't match as much as it used to. Running around carrying heavy stuff, we don't need that as much. It's still mechanized. Nonetheless, it does matter a bit. So we can't pretend that the physical doesn't matter. They've got lower physical standards for females, taking into account that women usually have 50% less upper body strength than men, tend to be shorter, blah, blah, blah. So people say that conditions are not good enough. They don't have work-life balance and so forth. So people have had this sort of anti-patriotic indoctrination. And it's good to be self-critical. And I castigate the United Kingdom, its historical role sometimes. I've made videos going out of my way to draw attention to atrocities committed by the British Army and so forth. They're obviously glorious victories, times when many people behave honourably and so on. But this overemphasis on wickedry committed by Britons might make people detest their own country, be unwilling to serve, which is an unhealthy thing. People, maybe too much left-wing propaganda makes them like pacifist or anti-militarist, and people maybe just too entitled. We've kind of bred people to be wimps. I'm not saying everybody, you know, in their teens or 20s is wimp. Absolutely not. They're wimps of all ages. I'm not a tough person. But we can be overly sympathetic to people saying, I can't take it. I've got depression. I've got anxiety. I can't cope. And so on. So lack of discipline in life, at school, at home, and too much chaos. So perhaps they're just not used to taking orders as much as previous generations. And I realized my generation, we had it easier than the one previously, and they're the one easier than the one before that, and so forth. But it can get too easy. Maybe my generation had it too easy. Some people always said that. But I mean, I really think it has. But the senior generation usually says that. They're not always right. They sometimes are. But things can get tougher and harsher as well. Various reasons. The process to join was just so convoluted and so protracted. So from application to actually beginning basic training was sometimes a year. And it was contracted out to a civilian organization, an enthusiastic teenager who wants to join the armed forces and speak to civilian after civilian after civilian, and they just get fed up. And by the way, say, do you want to come and join it? No, forget it. I've taken another job. Oh, come on, I can take it. No, I applied almost a year ago. A year is a very long time if you're 17. Remember, you can join at 17 with parent permission, but I think you have to ratify that when you're 18. They got the right to change your mind and leave at that point. Obviously, they can't be sent anywhere near combat till they're 18. So it goes on. There used to be the junior army until the 1980s, the junior leaders of battalions, who bring that back from 15 to 17 and did military training, took into account their age, so they had to run as far, carry such heavy stuff, that the discipline was gentler and all the rest of it. Age 17 joined the real army, but again, not till combat situations, till 17. I know a guy who was a porter at Oxford as in a security guard. He was born in 1941, and he was in the Royal Navy at 15. And 1956, he could do that. And he was in an aircraft carrier steaming towards Egypt before the Suez Crisis. But he and the other 15-year-olds were taken off because if they were killed, it would not be a good look. All right. So, yeah, we've got to be a much faster process. I mean, I know in the old days, people could volunteer to join and they would have their medical, get half a day's pay for attending the medical. They'd be within a month, they would be at a recruit depot. Okay. So they don't have the requisite skills. It's not just people joining, and some of them don't have the digital skills they need. They need people skilled in IT, but there's certainly some sort of IT core, people who don't have to do all the physical stuff, who are just nerds, which is what they need. So they need to accelerate the recruitment process to have less form filling and stuff like that. And the army's quite inefficient in itself. And one of my friends who was in the British Army was going to be posted to the Falklands, and he had to hand in his passport. What the hell? The whole point is it's like British territory. Why do they need to see your passport? You know who he is. He's your soldier, for God's sake. Here, give it back. Oh, actually, give us the passport again. We can have it back again. I mean, madness. And then so much money wasted on, say, expensive chairs for the desk jockeys in the Ministry of Defence. More civil service, the MOD, than there were soldiers in the army. I mean, insane. Obviously, you have to have some sort of organisation, but it was just putting the cart before the horse. All right. So all sorts of problems with it. Were they not paid enough and things like that? And I've got other ideas. If people want to get citizenship, we give it to them straight away if they join, or maybe if they finish basic training, or maybe after 5 years meritorious service, something like that. Would you even offer to illegal immigrants as a way to avoid deportation, as an alternative to jail or something like that? I've got other ideas. So take to healthy young benefits claimants. The armed forces think they can use this person, say, right, you're going to join the armed forces or you'll lose all benefits. What's it going to be? Because frankly, some people joined out of desperation in previous generations. It was that. Or destitution. It was three meals a day, and sometimes a family for people who don't have family. So to promote it more actively to people like that, sports clubs, things of that nature. And the Gurkhas, recruited from Nepal, since 1814, the Nepal War, when the British East India Company fought against them, bested the Nepalese, but nevertheless were deeply impressed with the martial qualities of the troops they'd vanquished, requested the King of Nepal, could they recruit them, and they recruited to this day. To the British Indian Army, subsequent both the Indian Army and the British Army, but could just hugely scale that up. There are about 100 applicants for each place. Instead of only take one at 100, let's take one in 10 or something, and then that's done, and they get their 5 years, and after that, they're allowed to settle. They don't get automatic citizenship, but you could grant it them. If there ever a group of people who are really good immigrants, it's them. Absolutely no problems coming out of them, and they're very glad and grateful to be in the United Kingdom. And that's it. And then they stay in the army a bit longer. They become security guards or prison officers or run restaurants and shops or what any job they want to do. OK, so that's it. So they just don't have enough money, enough troops to prosecute a war. Very low recruitment. And this is increased a little bit, but nowhere near enough. So it's also a very, very worrying. And then maybe just the equipment's another issue. So, we need to make people more resilient, willing to put up with physical and mental challenges and not just wimp out and, I can't cope with stuff like that. I couldn't cope with the army, not for a single day. That's why I didn't join. Was the reason I wouldn't want to do that. But there are people who would be suitable, but they've been told just not to cope, just to throw in the towel and be overly emotional and things like that. All right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.